In our previous segments, we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ is the Creator God. We also looked at the fact that He is the seed of the woman, as we read about in Genesis 3:15, and that He's the seed of David, prophesied in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And these prophecies were written and spoken hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was even born. We have ancient copies of these written prophecies that predate His birth. You see, some people have claimed that these prophecies were just collected, and people claim that Jesus fulfilled them, but that's just not historically even feasible. As a matter of fact, the Dead Sea Scrolls produced copies of Isaiah and Daniel that predate the birth of Jesus Christ, and yet those prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And by the way, they can't be force fulfilled. Some of those prophecies in Daniel and Isaiah and other books were actually pertaining to the birth and the events surrounding His birth. And you can't force fulfill your own birth when it comes to these prophecies. But Jesus Christ did fulfill the prophecies. Now, the odds of anyone fulfilling all of these prophecies is a number that's astronomical. What are the odds? Well, I got this information from Dr. Peter Ruckman regarding a Professor Peter Stoner who lived from 1888 to 1980. He was chairman of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy at Pasadena City College until 1953. And Stoner calculated the probability of one man fulfilling just 48 of these 300 prophecies. One-fourth of them. And the probability of one man fulfilling just 48 of these 300-plus messianic prophecies. In 1944, he published a paper on it. Stoner figured that the odds of one man fulfilling just 48 of these messianic prophecies was 1 in 10 to the 157th power. That's a number 1 with 157 zeros after it. After adding 50 zeros, you've entered the realm of the impossible. Some of the examples of these prophecies include Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We know her as the Virgin Mary. Now, skeptics claim that they just can't believe in a virgin birth. If you believe in God, why is it such a big problem to believe in a virgin birth? Today, man can artificially inseminate a woman, impregnating her without sex. If man can do that by his means, why is it a big deal to think that God can do it? If you believe in God, the virgin birth is no problem at all. The problem is just unbelief. And Jesus couldn't have force fulfilled the fact that His mother was a virgin. That's impossible for anyone to pick their mother and to pick the fact she'd be virgin when she conceived. In Micah 5:2 is another prophecy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That, of course, is fulfilled in Matthew 2:1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And, of course, He couldn't have picked His own birthplace. In Psalm 72:10, it was also predicted that kings would bring gifts. Jesus was just a little child. There's no way He could have forced that to happen. And yet it did happen. Hosea 11:1 says that Messiah would go into Egypt and then come up out of Egypt. And Jesus did that as a little baby. He couldn't have forced that to happen. And then in Isaiah 9:1 through 2, instead of going back to Bethlehem to grow up, the Bible says He'd be raised and come out of Galilee. And that's exactly where Jesus was raised. That's why He's called the Galilean. In Malachi 3:1, that prophecy requires the Messiah to come out of the temple. And that can't happen now and hasn't been able to be fulfilled since 70 A.D. Jesus, of course, cleared out the temple and drove out the money changers and was zealous for the temple of God. But that temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. Now, one of the most unbelievable prophecies comes from Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, with the exact day that Messiah would enter into Jerusalem to be cut off or killed is predicted. We read in Daniel 9, beginning verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem," that happened in 445 B.C., "unto Messiah the Prince," that's Jesus, "shall be 7 weeks," that's 49 years, "and 62 weeks," that's 434 years. "The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times, a total of 483 years. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." That means he died for the sins of others and not for his own sins. "And the people of the prince that shall come," that's the Antichrist and that's Rome, "shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." That happened in 70 AD. This prophecy from Daniel was fulfilled exactly. Artaxerxes ordered the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple in Nisan 1, 445 B.C. And 69 weeks, which is 483 years, of 360 days. In other words, the biblical year is not 365 and a quarter days, but it's 360 days. So you do the math of 483 years multiplied by 360 days for each year, and you come up with 173,880 days. So on April 6th, 32 AD, is the day we call Palm Sunday. That's when Jesus rode in on the foal of an ass into Jerusalem and was declared to be the son of David. That was 10 Nisan, 32 AD, on the Jewish calendar. That was the day they picked the Passover lamb and began to examine that lamb to make sure there was no blemish. Same thing happened to Jesus Christ. That's when his trial took place. And in 14 Nisan was the day the Passover lamb was sacrificed, and that just happened to be the day Jesus would be crucified. So on April 10th, 32 AD, Jesus Christ was crucified. That fulfilled Daniel's prophecy. Exactly. And in Genesis 49:10, a very interesting prophecy being fulfilled set the stage for this crucifixion. You see, under Jewish law, Jesus would have been stoned to death. But the Bible predicted that the scepter, in other words, the power to execute criminals, would not pass from Judah until Shiloh, the Messiah, would come. Well, Jesus was born at 4 B.C., and in 7 A.D., Judah lost the political clout and power to execute the guilty. In Psalm 22:16 and Zechariah 12:10, it was predicted that they would pierce the Messiah's hands and feet. The only reason that was fulfilled was because of the fact that Judah had lost the scepter, and now Rome would crucify its criminals. In Isaiah 8:13-15, the Messiah, it was said, would be an offense and a stumbling stone to his own people. If you read Isaiah 53, it's very clear the prediction that Messiah would suffer and die for the sins of his people. And yet, the Jews of his day didn't see that. They rejected him. Psalm 16:10, though, says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." That speaks of the resurrection of Messiah. And in John 20, we read about that resurrection. You see, John 1, 11 and 12 describes that he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His own people rejected him. What about you? Take a look at these messianic prophecies. The fact that Jesus fulfilled them. He was rejected by his own. What about you? Will you reject him? I'm glad to say that I have received him as my Lord and Savior, and I hope you do too.